Today's episode, as always, is brought to you by your friends over at TouringPlans.com. If you want to maximize the amount of fun you have on your next Disney World or Disneyland vacation, you need to pack a TouringPlans.com premium subscription right there in your back pocket. Even better, pack it right there on your smartphone. That'll give you access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which gives you up-to-the-second information to make great choices in the parks, as well as access to the 365-day crowd calendar and access to awesome touring plans. Check out all the great services they offer. Just check them out over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 382 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday. You know, in a few weeks, I'm saying happy Friday, but here in a few weeks, it's going to be Black Friday again. You know, where has this year gone? We're going to have to get out there and shop. And apparently here in St. Louis, at least, the stores are going to open this year at midnight rather than like 4 in the morning, which I think is actually advantageous to most shoppers. But anyway, let's talk some Disney here and, get into some fun talk here on a Friday because the weekend's here and it's time to celebrate. So joining me today, the only person to show up for the show, this is dedication, or it's a lack thereof by our other two co-hosts. I don't know. One of them's in Walt Disney World, so we'll cut her some slack. And
no.
The other is working, so I guess, we have good attendance on the show. I have to admit that.
We do.
All right,
we
so do. Let's get you in here. Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com and Magically Speaking. What's up, Ricky?
It's been a week, and I just have to say, still, go Cardinals. Heck yes. Even down here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was still cheering them on. And I ended up watching because we had the parade on Sunday. St. Louis had the parade on Sunday. Right.
No, you are Cardinal Nation, Ricky.
I am Cardinal Nation. And I was seriously sitting here in New Mexico watching the parade on the internet because I had to see the parade. My parents were down there. They were at the Busch Stadium. They were, there for the whole thing. And I was so jealous. But at least I got to see the parade on TV. Well, on the internet, basically. So I was happy with that. And I'm jealous of them. But I got to see the Cardinals win the World Series again, so yay.
Absolutely. We are glad to be the world champions here in St. Louis. And, I try to keep it out of the podcast because I know we have lots of Phillies fans, Brewers fans, fans of all other teams that listen to the show and didn't want to rub
That's
it in
right.
too hard. But,
they all did awesome, I have to say.
They all did awesome. Just so. Not quite as awesome as us. The Phillies will be back next year. I know the Philly fans are crazy. That's why they're called the Fanatics. But let me just say that I went a little crazy on Twitter, so I'm saying I'm sorry to everybody. I was just a little excited about our team. So if you saw me on Twitter going a little nuts with the We Are Cardinal Nation stuff, it's over. The season's over. We won.
And until next year.
Exactly. We're moving on. So today we're going to talk about solo traveling down at Walt Disney World. This is a topic that has been brought up many, many times over on the forums at BeOurGuestPodcast.com to discuss. And since it's just us and we've done this a couple times each ourselves, we're going to tackle this topic today. But before this, I just want to get into this real quick with Ricky because, I also want to say happy birthday to Paige, my stepdaughter who turned 15 this past week. She was in kindergarten the other day. She's 15 now. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But for her party, we took six of her friends out to the local Six Flags this past Saturday night for the Fright Fest thing, like the Halloween thing. And let me just say, if you're watching me on Twitter that night, God bless Walt Disney World because it is so much better than Six Flags. I mean, Ricky, I know you kind of like Six Flags. You had
a
season pass, but it's everything Walt Disney World isn't.
Yes, you're right. It is everything Walt Disney World isn't. And you went on a Friday. No, you went on a Saturday night, didn't you?
Yeah, Saturday night.
So you went on a Saturday night, and I think you went like the night before, Six Flags like closed for like the season on nighttime thing. So like you got all the crazies. I would never go that night. So more power to you because I know all the crazies that come out at Six Flags the night before, Halloween. So You know, but I do enjoy it. It is a lot of fun, but you know, you got to go into it thinking, okay, it's definitely not Disney. It's just something that I'm going to have a good time, have some fun, and that's how I got to go into it. So,
well, you know, we did go on the Saturday night before they were closed. Sunday was their last day of operation for the season, and Halloween was obviously Monday. And, you know, I went to check the crowd calendar to see there is no crowd calendar.
No, you know, there's not.
And so then I'm walking around the park and firing up lines to see what the Screaming Eagle, wait, there's no lines either.
No.
You know, so it was tragic because I just had to use these old, I mean, I felt like I was in Disneyland in the 50s because, like, to get my wait times, you know what I had to do? I had to look at these signs and said, if you're standing here, your wait time is 30 minutes. It was ridiculous.
That's right. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was like, this is like the old fashioned touring plans, like from the 50s when Len was not even born probably and hadn't even thought about it. But, you know, they had this one rule that really perturbed me. And I promise we're getting on to the Disney talk here in just a second, because this just makes you appreciate Disney for what it is. Let me tell you, people, we need to love our beloved Walt Disney World because it is so much better for the rides there. And it was cold, you know, here in St. Louis. Once the sun went down when we were there, it got cold pretty quick. It was down in the 40s at night. Oh, and I got to mention, the greatest part of the night, and this tells you how great the night was my favorite thing was that they were trying to set a world record for the most people dancing to Thriller at the same time.
I think they try to do that every year, actually.
See, look at that. I'm being scammed by them. So anyway, though, you cannot carry anything like onto a ride at Six Flags. Mm-hmm. Like you can't even have like a backpack or something, you know, like at Disney. I have my backpack, I stick it between my legs and ride Rocket Roller Coaster and everything's cool. No way, man. They're like, they're crazy about that stuff there.
Oh my gosh, I know, you're completely right. Like, that is the one thing that I hate about Six Flags. Like, that's something that they changed probably 2 years ago or so, and I kind of know why they changed it. You know, you have a lesser clientele because, you know, you have a lot of teenagers who go who are, you know, let's face it, teenagers are troublemakers for the most part a lot of times. So, you know, teenagers were causing a little trouble, I bet. And so Six Flags decided to instate this idea that, okay, nobody can have any bags, nothing. You can't store them at the front anymore, at the, you know, the queue in the line at the area anymore. You gotta put them in a locker down and pay for it. And to me, it's the biggest rip because A, you have to pay for a locker, and B, you can't carry it on. So even if I wanted to carry my bag on, I couldn't. So I don't even bring stuff like to Six Flags anymore. Like which, you know, is kind of sad because, you know, I would bring more stuff like money and stuff like that with me instead of just, you know, credit card and that's it, you know? So I would bring a lot more stuff with me that may benefit them in the long run. But unfortunately, you know, people messed it up. So they, you know, you gotta go with it. You know what I hate? Like Batman, that's a roller coaster that they have where your feet dangle from the bottom. You used to be able to put your flip-flops down and, you know, store them on dock. Now you have to carry them on, and I'm sitting here like trying to lace my flip-flops through the belt buckle and stuff like that. Like, and I'm like trying not to touch the bottom of my flip-flops because that's gross. So yeah, I'm with you, Mike. It's a total rip to me, so well, I'm with you.
I was dressed like the Abominable Snowman because I had to wear all my clothes. That's the only way you could ride anything with, like, you couldn't carry anything. So I had on, like, 7 layers because I didn't want to freeze later. Oh, and the other thing that got me, and I promise we're done with this, you couldn't even take your cell phone out during an attraction. Like, if you want to take a picture or video. I mean, how many times have we all done that at Walt Disney World where we shoot, you know, video on an attraction and take pictures during? Oh, no, they said you would get the 1-year trespass and I guess end up in the Pacific Allerton jail cell or something. I don't know.
Once again, I think this has to relate to, you know, teenagers being teenagers and, you know, doing bad things. And actually, I think kind of ties back to Florida. Universal, you know, with the whole Dueling Dragons thing, they're not dueling anymore because stuff flew off. So it's kind of ties into that. I don't know.
You know, this makes us appreciate our VR Guest Podcast teenagers that are in the group here because they're
awesome.
That's
right.
They wouldn't do any of this.
They are awesome. They would never do stuff like this, right? You better not.
That's right. Don't be little hoodlums and get us all to where we have to, like, sweat, you know, because it's 60 degrees, you know, in the afternoon. I got to wear all my clothes for 10 o'clock that night. So anyway, yeah, just had to get that off my chest because the whole time I'm thinking, man, I need a touring plan. I need something to save me because we were there for 7 hours, and I think I rode the Mine Train twice, which is like the little 1960s roller coaster, which is pretty pathetic. Anyway, though, let's talk about touring Walt Disney World solo. So both of us have gone down For me, it's always been for a running event, you know, for a BR Guest podcast event, to go down and be solo. So, you know, when it comes to a solo trip, Ricky, right off the top, what do you think of? I mean, what's different than when you go with Brian?
You know, what's different is I'm there with friends. So with Brian, you know, we kind of dictate what we want to do together, just the two of us. So it's a little easier to, you know, figure out what we want to do. Whereas with a group, you know, that's usually what I go with. You know, it's you don't ride as much with a group, usually, I've noticed. You know, you're all together, you're all having fun, but it's a different kind of fun. It's a fun that's not centered around just riding attractions. It's a fun of just being there together is really what I notice about solo traveling.
You know,
when I've done it.
And so, as I think about this too, you know, I think about, you know, there's different kinds of travelers. Like if you're a single person,
right,
and you're going to go to Disney,
which I've done too.
You know, that's different than if you're like somebody that's married or has a significant other and you're going away from your family. Because let me just tell you that, you know, for me, it's a way different type of trip, you know, because when you get down there and you know, you have kids and you're used to going with your family, I will caution you that it is a little bit kind of startling at first because the whole thing that you see at Walt Disney World is families. You know, you see that all the time and you see little girls going up to see Cinderella or, you know, Princess Aurora or Ariel. And you see, you know, little boys going up and meeting Jack Sparrow. And if you left the kids at home, while it is liberating because, you know, you don't have as much responsibility and it's all going to be about what you want to experience. Like you said, the friends are the best part. I'll tell you, though, as a parent, though, there are times that when you're down there, even though you're down there with lots of friends, it does make you homesick for the kids when you see, you know, a really touching moment with the kids.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't have kids, but I've gone with Brian, but I've left him behind because he does not like Animal Kingdom. And I'm okay with Animal Kingdom, but, you know, I like to at least visit there once on a week-long trip, so he does not care to go at all. So, you know, I usually leave him at the hotel and let him hang out, relax, chill by the pool, whatever. I'll go to Animal Kingdom and do what I want to do, and it's great because I can do what I want to do. You know, I don't have to worry about, oh, he doesn't really like Everest, so, you know, I'm not going to do that, or, you know, whatever. I can do whatever I want, and that's one of the great things about traveling solo is you really can, you have the freedom to do absolutely whatever you want whenever you want it. And yeah, you miss your family. I mean, trust me, I miss Brian a lot when I'm at Animal Kingdom and, you know, he's not there to experience something with me. It does get, you know, I don't want to say lonely, but it gets a little sad sometimes. But, you know, for the most part, it's awesome.
It is. I mean, there's pros and cons. I mean, there's lots of pros to it because I will say that, you know, social media has made it so much better on, you know, being there, you know, and just even having, you know, quality cell phone service where you can call or send a text message anytime you want back home. But with the social media, you can always find other friends and Disney fans that are down there. So I really think about it as you're never solo. I mean, you may be away from your family or away from your significant other. But the thing is that, you know, 365 days a year, there's going to be somebody that listens to the show or WDW Today or Lou's show or, you know, somebody that's on the forums you're on or somebody you follow. Somebody's going to be there and there's going to be an opportunity to, you know, ride rides with people, have meals with people and have a great time. I don't think I could really enjoy Disney if it was truly solo where I didn't know anybody else down there and I was going to be there for, you know, more than a couple days. I think it'd be really hard. So I really appreciate my Disney friends who make the experience what it is when I go without my family.
Yeah, I think if you are if you're a single by yourself and you have a family, you just go down for a couple days, you know, and get the taste of it. I think, of course, if you're, you know, a single person all by yourself, then yeah, you can definitely have fun for a week without, you know, having anybody. But you do have that luxury of something like Twitter or Facebook or, you know, message forums where you can say, hey, I want to meet up with so-and-so today. So you can figure out a time or, you know, Twitter them and tweet them and say, hey, you want to go here right now? And they'll go, okay. You know, that is one of the great things too about traveling solo. So whether you're, you know, down there completely by yourself or by yourself, but you have a family, you can get something out of it either way.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, I've heard this topic brought up on other shows before too. And one of the greatest tips that I've heard given is that if you're going solo, share the experience through social media, because it gives you more of an opportunity, because you're not worried about your kids or your significant other. You know, you can dive into the Android or the iPhone, get on Twitter, Facebook, you know, and take pictures of things and share those with your followers. And then, you know, for me, when I'm down there, I get a kick out of this because I have so many people responding, oh, great picture, or wish I was there, or, you know, what's the price of that meal nowadays, or, you know, do they have this or do they have that? Because that really makes it, you're no longer solo. You have lots of friends giving you input, sharing in the experience through you. And it's very rewarding, because you get to give people that are sitting back at home, maybe at work, or, you know, it's a long time for them until their next Disney trip. They're enjoying following you on the trip, but you're also, you know, benefiting from it as well, because you're getting lots of interaction, and it makes it fun. I'll admit, it's a lot of fun.
Yes. And the great thing for me is, you know, I'll sit there and tweet stuff, and it's not just for my Twitter followers, which I love being able to, you know, share my trips with them, but it's also for Brian, because Brian's sitting back at home, poor guy, he's usually stuck at work, and so he's sitting there following along with me on Twitter just so he can experience what I'm doing, you know? So that's kind of one of the really cool things about social media now, is that even though he's not with me, he is with me, which is great.
Absolutely. So now let's take it back to the planning. Okay, so you find out you have the opportunity to go down, you know, solo trip, and you're not going to go with the family or who you normally travel with. How does it change your planning, Ricky, then, when it's both of you to, like, oh, it's just me? I mean, how does your planning differ?
You know, for me personally, I notice that I plan less. You know, with Brian, you know, we're usually down there for a week, so we usually want to, you know, do everything that we normally love to do, hit up the restaurants that we normally love to hit up, that kind of thing. When I go by myself, though, I mean, this last October, I didn't even know what days the parks were open till when. You know, I thank God for lines, because I looked it up that day. You know, I would have never known, really. So I do very little planning when I go by myself, because I know that I can go wherever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can, if I want to go eat somewhere, I can try and get a walk up. You know, it's a little easier, I'd say, to get a walk up as a single person. If I wanted to, you know, do this, do that, I can do that. So I really find it very liberating with that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I do very little planning when it comes to going solo, because I know that my tendencies from my solo trips has been that it's very on the fly, as far as once you get there, it's going to be dependent on who's where and what's going on, to where even if you have laid out, you know, a plan of attack, like this day I plan to be at Epcot, or this day, you know, I want to see the studios and see this show. A lot of times my plans are dictated by where my friends are when I get there, or, you know, another great tip is to go down when there's a big event happening, like Food and Wine Festival or a Disney race or something like that, because that gives you kind of a focus, and there's going to be people that share that passion, whether it's, you know, foodies that want to go to Food and Wine, or, you know, runners that maybe are going to be in the race with you, or there's just a lot of, like, niche kind of things you can do to make your solo trip, you know, almost guaranteed that there's going to be people that share the same passions as you, even like Flower and Garden. You know, if you're somebody that really enjoys, you know, that kind of stuff, go down during the festival and you're bound to meet people with similar interests.
Exactly. I mean, you know, go to one of the HGTV meetups, you know, that they have there, you know, there's so many things that you can, ways that you can meet up with people who are like-minded with you. It's just ridiculous how many ways there are. So,
you know, I'll say, you know, as far as like planning when I go down, I'll tell you that you know, I'm a driver. So what I do when I go down solo is that I'll rent a car instead of driving our own car. For one thing, it leaves, you know, the big, we have an SUV, a big Trailblazer, and I leave that for Pam and the girls, because, you know, it's just easier on them to have the regular car with the car seat and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, if you just rent an economy type car from your local rental place, if you're somebody that wants to drive to Disney, I save money by renting the car for a week just in gas differential alone, because our Trailblazer gets 14 miles to the gallon, and I can usually rent an economy type car that gets somewhere in the order of like 35 to 40 miles per gallon. So when you consider how much the difference is in gas, usually you can rent a car for a week for about $180. So actually, you don't have any wear and tear on your car. you're saving, you know, money on gas. And since it's just me in a suitcase, you know, and I can't do that when I'm going down with four of us because then you have three
Especially not with three girls.
Exactly. We're like National Lampoon's Vacation going down the street. Right. So, yeah, I mean, but that's, you know, that's an option. You might not consider, oh, well, you know, I have my own car, but you know what? Sometimes it's a wash just renting one, and it's easier too. It's, you know, and it's a newer car as well.
Exactly. I kind of do it both ways. It kind of depends on the trip that I'm having. You know, when I go down to meet up with a bunch of people, I usually do end up renting a car just so that I have that freedom of, okay, we want to go here, you know, okay, hop in the car. You know, it's a little easier in my eyes. But, you know, when I go down with Brian and I'm just going by myself, I'll take Disney transportation, no problem. You know, I have no problem either way with, you know, renting a car or Disney transportation. I think both are valid ways of getting around the Disney parks by yourself, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, it helps because you can be so flexible too. I mean, that's
exactly.
Flexibility is the joy of going solo because you don't have to be tied to anything. I mean, you can be, I mean, a lot of us, you know, a lot of our listeners do have Excel sheets and stuff like that. But I think that, you know, when you get the opportunity to go solo, and I didn't until a couple years ago, and I was always kind of like, you know, I don't know how I like this. And, you know, I already said earlier that I do get a little homesick for the girls, especially when I see something very special with families. And, you know, you do see that all over the place at Disney. I mean, it's everywhere you look. But there's also a joy in knowing that, you know what, I don't know where I'm going to have dinner tonight. You know, we had a great example was, you know, we ate at Le Cellier one night over the race weekend. And I had no idea that day I was eating at Le Cellier, but,
right.
You know, one of your friends has an ADR and usually, you know, you can pull a Lentesta and squeeze in, you know, 9 out of 2 and bam.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a
did.
Great.
Exactly. I mean, no, we didn't do that at all.
But you know, I think the joy is just to, you know, kind of see the parks for what just occurs to you that day, that afternoon, that night. And you may have planned to see Fantasmic, but you notice that there's a group of folks over checking out Illuminations and you don't have to check with anybody. You just go and it's fun.
Exactly. That happened with me. You know, I had planned on this October trip to take, there was extra magic hours at Epcot, and I had planned originally to head on over there, and then I met up with, you know, some people, and we ended up going to Beaches and Cream instead, and it was seriously the most fun I've had ever at Beaches and Cream. So, I mean, you know, you never know. And if I hadn't had been able to just go off on the whim and go, hey, you know what? That sounds like a really good idea. You know, I would have missed out on one of the best experiences I've had at Walt Disney World. So
I agree. And one of the things, you know, I want to ask you, and for me, you know, when I go down solo, I go cheap. I do go cheap.
Me too.
I mean, you know, the last time we both stayed at the same resort,
yes,
we were in different buildings sports, I believe. But, you know, I went with the total cheapest room I could find on property because the thing was, when you go solo, especially if you go on one of these events where there's lots of podcast meetups or community meetups and, you know, maybe a Disney race or some big event, you're not in the room that much. There's no reason to splurge, really. It's like a crash pad. And in sports did exactly what I needed. You know, it was a very cheap room. I got a great rate. And it was a place to shower and sleep. You know, I don't need the extravagant stuff when I'm there by myself. Now, that could change depending on, you know, the focus of your trip. You could be solo and really wanting to celebrate something big,
you know,
and just kind of lay around the Polynesian, which, man,
that would be awesome.
I'm saying that would be awesome. But I'm saying for me, how I typically go is cheap, cheap, cheap when it's just me.
I do, too. I mean, but, you know, usually with Brian, I still do the cheap, cheap, cheap thing. Even more so when I'm by myself, because I really am there to sleep and shower, and that's pretty much it. Now, the one thing is, as a girl, you know, I do have to keep in mind, you know, that I like to be a little bit closer to the front, only because, you know, I don't want to be traveling all the way to the back of a resort and being by myself, walking by myself. So I either like to be in an area where if I don't have a rental car, and this is another reason why I rent a car, but if I don't have a rental car, then I'm right near the front lobby area, or if I have a rental car, then I'm really close to the parking lot, because that way I can, you know, get to my room quickly, you know, but I will not. I actually switched rooms last time when I was at Music, because I was all the way in the furthest back that you can get. And I was like, look, I'm by myself. I said, is there any way I can get a closer room? I didn't get that much closer, but at least it wasn't all the way in the back, you know? So, you know, that's something that as a female, I do take it into consideration a lot.
That's
so.
a great tip there. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you definitely kind of have to think about where you want your room to be, you know, as a single traveler.
We kind of touched on dining already, but when I go down as a solo person, I do mostly counter service. I never make ADRs when I'm by myself. I mean, I just don't think to do it. And like I said, we do tag on. You happen to run into people, and you know you can. It's kind of a Disney secret, but not too well kept. But you could tag on to existing, as long as you have a reservation. You can usually get a few extra people in there on that reservation as well. But you know, I'm very content with, when I'm down there alone, just, you know, eating counter service where I happen to be. I don't plan out anything as far as dining. Are you exactly the same, I think?
I'm pretty much the same way, yeah. I don't plan any dining. I know that, you know, if you are going in as a single person and it is your, you know, like once in a year trip or something like that, yeah, I can understand wanting to plan where you're going to eat, or at least having a few places for, you know, where you want to eat and then, you know, kind of be flexible, I was going to say loosey-goosey the other few times. But, you know, some of the best places to go are, you know, one of my favorite places to go is the bar at 50s Primetime. You know, I go there all the time when I'm by myself. You know, they have great food, great, you know, well, I'd say great drinks, but, you know, I don't drink. But, you know,
nice,
you get kind of the atmosphere there, you know, that kind of thing. So any place that has a bar area, like Kona has a bar area, and you can order the food at, you know, Kona food that the sushi bar area place, and you know, really anywhere that has that bar area where they serve food, you go there. You know, it's absolutely perfect to sit there and order your dinner and just enjoy the atmosphere that way too.
You know, I think one of the best tips for going solo is that, you know, when you say you go and catch a meal by yourself. I mean, you may not be with friends, and you go to one of these, you know, walk up places, you know, like you said, like Sushi Bar Kona or somewhere similar. I mean, all the, you know, California Grill has a place you can walk up
right.
And grab. I mean, just got to check them out. But I think the key is just to, you know, maybe strike up a conversation with somebody, because everybody's on vacation, you know, so you have something in common. Like, you know, hey, did you check out that party at the Magic Kingdom the other night? Man, that was crazy. All you got to do is bring up anything, and you already have something to talk about. And I think then, you know, it's going to make your meal all the better, because you have, you know, you have a new friend, and you can really share your experiences and literally meet people from all corners of the planet.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I think that you have a better shot, by the way, of getting like a walk up if you go to a resort restaurant and not to a park restaurant. You may get a walk up at a park restaurant, but you're definitely going to get a little bit better shot if you go to a resort one, too.
Good tip. Well, let's kind of wrap this up with, like, say you're in the parks and you do go by yourself. You know, you just decided, hey, I want to go here today for a few hours, and, you know, I'm going to meet up with my friends a little bit later on in the day, which I know you've done and I've done as well. You know, do you feel strange sometimes? Like, say, like, going to Space Mountain and, you know, they ask how many people and you're like, one. I mean, does that bother you or, you know, how do you feel?
You know, it kind of varies. Sometimes I'm self-conscious about it, but for the most part, I'm not. You know, I know that a ton of people go down there by themselves. So, you know, the fact that I'm there by myself doesn't really make me feel too bad about it. You know, it is sometimes a little weird saying one, you know, I'm by myself, you know, whatever, but, you know, for the most part, it is a little weird to sit next to somebody that you don't know, but if that's the case, if you are by yourself, you can hit up the single rider lines too, for some of the attractions as well. So like Everest, you know, I hit up the single rider line multiple times on Everest, usually when I go, and, you know, Test Track, I hit that up a lot too. So, that's another perk, is that you can oftentimes get on attractions a lot faster if it has a single rider line because you're single.
So. Good tip. And also a lot of times, even for attractions that don't like Soarin', they'll call for, you know, any groups of one or two.
I mean, boom. Anybody two or one? Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, another tip that I want to give out real quick before we wrap the show up is that this is a great, great time to do a tour, you know, because you don't have anybody else that's, you know, because obviously I think most of us, there's one person in the family that's the big Disney geek or the big Disney fan that, you know, really gets excited about the pothole covers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, the windows on Main Street, like you just think that is too cool, like we do. You know, but, you know, the rest of the family a lot of times could, you know, not really, you know, it's not that they dislike it, but they'd rather ride a ride or go have a great meal. But the thing is if you're down there by yourself, this takes care of a couple things. One, you could take a tour that really, you know, hits what you're into, whether it's the trains or behind the scenes at the Magic Kingdom, or maybe riding Segways over at Fort Wilderness, scuba diving. You know, there's something really for everyone in the tours. And the thing I've noticed about the few tours that I've gone on is that there is kind of like a camaraderie with the tour group itself once you get going. That's really, I think, something Disney focuses on, you know, as the tour begins, to kind of find out, okay, where are you from? And, you know, give us a little bit of information about who you are. And then the thing is you already have a common thread. You've signed up for this tour together, so you must share this passion somehow. And then as the tour progresses throughout the next few hours, I think that there's kind of a bonding there between the groups, the people in the tour itself.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to think. I mean, the people who are signing up for these tours, they usually, I would guess, they would have a pretty decent knowledge of Disney and of its own, because they wouldn't know about the tours if they didn't, you know, most people wouldn't know about the tours, you know, if they weren't Disney fans. So I think that knowing that you're going to have that kind of camaraderie right off the bat is great. And you're right, you know, you can get to know people with those kind of things. And, you know, maybe find a new friend and, you know, someone else who's single or, you know, not or whatever. You know, it's just a great way to meet people in a way, and also to get that information that you're so thirsty for.
Absolutely. So we're going to remind you that today's episode, the Solo Show, was brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. And seriously, if you ever do go down solo, this is when I use Touring Plans the most, because I use lines. And the thing is, with that flexibility, I'm always firing up lines and seeing, okay, well, I'm in this park and I don't have to worry about anybody else but myself. So, you know, what does Pirates look like right now? What's the wait time? Or when are the fast passes still available for Soarin' if I'm over at Epcot? And the thing is, really, when you're a solo person, you have the flexibility. It's liberating. It, for once, it is all about you and your love for Disney. So take advantage of that. Lines and all the services over at touringplans.com are going to help you just really maximize your time. And that's one thing we really didn't mention, is that you get a lot of stuff done quickly by yourself. I mean, honestly, you could probably get twice as much done in a day.
Oh, yeah.
When you're by yourself than when you are with your normal family. So check out all the great services they offer over at touringplans.com. Now, today, I'm very excited because we have a couple of prizes to give away.
And
so there's we love prizes. So we have our photographer friends in the Disney community. Let me get their names here so I get everybody. We have Corey Disbro, Adam Hansen, and Katie Marino. They have put together another great ebook, and it's called The Photographer's Guide to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Ooh.
Now you know we haven't even set the clocks back until Saturday night, Ricky, but you know, we're talking about Christmas. You excited about the Christmas season?
You know, I went to the mall today and I heard Christmas music and I was like, this is way too early for Christmas. But, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, like to celebrate Christmas early. I'm one who likes to celebrate Christmas after Thanksgiving. But I can understand the people who really love Christmas. So
excellent. So, you know, we're going to get you in the spirit because it's November now, guys. I mean,
I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, we'll be eating turkey here in a few weeks, and then it'll be on like Donkey Kong to get those presents for everybody. So we want to give out a couple of ebooks. Thank you to Corey and Adam and Katie for donating two copies of this awesome ebook about taking beautiful, gorgeous pictures at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and really at Walt Disney World in general during the holiday season. And if these pictures are any indication of the kind of pictures that you'll be able to take, these pictures are gorgeous. I love the picture, and it's one of my favorite things at Walt Disney World and during the holidays. It's the toy soldiers in the parade. Love them. So if you want to take great pictures, we're going to have a contest for you. And this is going to run for a week because we know not everybody's like Dennis and listens to us, you know, 2 minutes after the show comes out every Thursday night. We appreciate that, Dennis, and all of you that listen right away. Thank you so much. But we're going to give everybody a fair shake. We're going to make it random, give away two copies of this book, and then tell you how you can get your own book if you don't win for only $4. This thing is a steal.
Sweet. That is a steal.
$4, you know. It's like a couple McRibs, you know.
That's right, Mike. You may have to give up your McRibs this week, you know. Okay.
That's exactly. Oh, I might have one here after the show. But anyway, so Ricky, tell us how we are going to give away these two copies of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, A Photographer's Guide.
All right. So like you said, it's going to be a completely random drawing. And what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to go over to our Facebook page. And you're going to need to post pretty much, Mike, you want to go with any Christmas picture?
I would say pictures from Walt Disney World, like a Christmas tree.
Well, yeah, yeah, any Christmas picture from Walt Disney World.
Yes. Your favorite.
Okay.
That gets you in.
All right. It doesn't have to be like the most amazing picture, just has to be one of your favorites, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it doesn't have to be the type of photography they're going to do in that, you know, book or whatever. But any Christmas picture from Walt Disney World, post it in our Facebook group. And then two people will be chosen at random. For the prize. So how does that sound? Sounds pretty awesome to me.
It sounds like we're having our listeners trick out the Facebook page for us.
That's right. It does. Be our guest podcast crew members are not eligible.
That's right. Exactly. But we do want to give these away. So just any picture really will get you in. Just make sure mention, you know, it's for the try to win the book or something. And we just, you know, it's fun to start seeing pictures from the holidays down at Walt Disney World. And it's so great of these guys to donate because, for one thing, they have great talents. And they share them with us all the time on various podcasts. And, of course, you can check out their website over at DisneyPhotographyBlog.com to get all great tips. But if you want to check, you know, if you want to get this book and you don't win this week, just, again, go over to DisneyPhotographyBlog.com. It's $4 and it's, you know, again, it's kind of like touring plans. It'll make your experience better. So check it out.
Yeah.
Support these folks. They're great to give
and
us these
prizes.
See,
prices that's out. Something you can do as a solo traveler. You can take more pictures.
Absolutely.
Hello.
That's right. All right. So we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. We hope that you enjoyed today's show. Again, we're sorry that Pam and Debbie were not with us. It was just Ricky and I, but we hope that you, you know, laughed with us and got a little bit of information. You know, I don't know, Ricky, you know, just us. Probably a subpar show, but we'll do better next week, maybe.
I love when Debbie and Pam are with us. Yes, I think next week will be, and not that this was a bad show, but I think next week will be back to our stellar self. Let's put it that way.
I hope so. And oh, don't forget, this Monday we have a very special episode for you. And this is the episode that I just totally never got around to editing and putting together, but it is the Be Our Guest podcast live from the Disney Dream, our live show that
Yay!
We did on the ship. So that'll be on Monday. So make sure you check that out. We had a lot of fun. We recorded in Evolution. And let me just warn you, the first 5 minutes of the show or so, we were actually pulling into Castaway Key. And there was a little bit of background noise because we were rocking and moving right up to the dock there. So they kicked off the engines after about 5 minutes. But it was so much fun. And you're going to get to hear lots of our listeners talking about their cruise experience. And, of course, we're doing it again in July of 2013. But just wanted to get that out there. It was sitting here on my computer. Realized I hadn't put it out on the feed. And, you know, it's getting cold now here in St. Louis. And I've been doing a lot of dreaming about being back on the Disney Cruise Line. So Monday, you get to hear the show live from the Disney Dream. We hope you'll enjoy it.
Awesome. I'm so excited. Can't wait to listen.
All right. So don't forget to follow the show on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Of course, we're on Twitter, twitter.com/BeOurGuestMike. Please check out our forums. We're over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And we talk Disney all day, every day. Also, in between shows, we have Magical Mouse Radio, which plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're just about 3 weeks away from the Walt Disney World Holiday Audio coming back up on the station. I am working on it as we speak. So, you know, it's playing at your mall already, Ricky, but it's not on Magical Mouse Radio quite yet.
That's good. That's good. I approve that message.
We'll do it Thanksgiving weekend. So
that sounds a lot better. Yeah.
All right. So we appreciate you downloading the show today. Thank you so much for being a friend. We love having you out there as a listener, but more importantly, as our friends, because you guys are just awesome. We love doing the show, and we couldn't do it without you guys. So let us know. Give us some more tips for traveling solo down at Walt Disney World. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, saying have a great weekend, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.